Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all, a world we don't understand, a world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I, as always, am Jason Ophir, here with Sherry Pang. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Not too bad. This is my first day of a brief vacation, so I'm looking forward to a little bit of relaxation, a little kicking back. I might, one of the things I'm actually just started doing before the show is I'm kind of messing with technology a little bit, I'm actually streaming this episode to YouTube as a test. I'm going to try and refine my skills and maybe make something of it. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. How's your week been?
Very busy. I'm very blessed, but very busy. I just got back on tour last night, and I'm just, I'm just getting in the hang of things. So, yes, everything is coming to put together, and I feel very blessed.
Very cool. Hey, I wanted to mention, I think it was yesterday, I was watching a YouTube video, and it was pretty interesting. It was this guy, he claims that he's a time traveler. He was part of some secret government operation back in the early 90s. And it was him and some other people that were going to different, places in time. But he was boomeranged to the year 3000. And he was discussing all the things that were different. They can pretty much cure all diseases. And everything was run by AI. And no, people didn't make decisions anymore. It was all artificial intelligence that made all the decisions. And one of the interesting things, he brought a picture with him of a city from the year 3000, but it was blurry, and his excuse why it was blurry was that pictures don't do well when being teleported into the future. I thought it was interesting. He was very well spoken, but of course I'm skeptical.
That sounds very interesting. Time traveling, I do believe that exists, and time traveling, astral traveling, you never know. It's something to be explored, and it would be something that we can discuss on our radio show in another different episode.
Absolutely. I just thought it was interesting. Have you seen anything in the paranormal going on lately?
No, to be honest with you, I haven't had time. I've been so really, really busy, and it's kind of like, wow, I'm not caught up. So if you think of something or you read something, let me know.
That's always interesting. There's always developing stories. But you have scheduled one of my favorite guests tonight, Andrea Perron, and she's going to be on, and she's in queue, and it's a great, fantastic lady to talk to.
She's just very enduring, and it just really – I just want to thank her for just spending the time, because we are a big time difference. I think we are a 3 or 4 hour time difference. I know it's at least 3, maybe 4. So I just really appreciate her staying up and being able to spend the time to share part of herself with our audience.
Absolutely. Well, I see she's just patiently waiting, so let's bring her on right now.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Jason. Hi, Sherry. How are you, darlings?
Good. Very, very good. It's good to have you on the show, and you're quite the busy lady.
Oh my gosh, I'll tell you what.
But what are you
this on? This is a good time. Hold on just a second. Excuse me. I'm having, I don't know if I'm having allergies or if I'm getting a cold. I don't think I'm getting a cold. I don't feel sick in any way. So I think I'm just having allergies. But tonight I've been on a sneezing jag. So if I have to pardon myself to blow my nose, I apologize in advance. Lord.
Hopefully.
So anyway, it's no. Well, go ahead.
Oh, hopefully it's not the flu. Hopefully it's just a cold.
Oh no, no, I don't get the flu. That's not allowed in my vessel. That's just not allowed. You know, I don't think that it should be allowed in any vessel, but there's no room at the inn here for anything that nasty. But I've had a crazy year. 2018 has been a truly phenomenal year for me, and I've traveled extensively. It was back in November that I was scheduled to be on your show, and we had somehow screwed it up and double booked it. And I was actually out in Nevada at the StarWorks Symposium talking about extraterrestrials when I was supposed to do that show. And, you know, I love you both with all my heart, but you have no idea how relieved I was that I didn't have to do it that night and that we could reschedule, because I was exhausted. I was just coming off a series of production meetings in California. I had driven with my dad from L.A. to Laughlin, Nevada to do the StarWorks, and then we flew home from Las Vegas. So it was a crazy week. It was 7 or 8 days of just absolute nonstop excitement and exhaustion and you name it. And it was really strange too, because as we were leaving, I said to my executive producer, and he's the man who will be in charge of making my trilogy of books, House of Darkness, House of Light, into a series of films. And that's what we're working on now. He's already got the first screenplay. The second one's almost done. So we're in process with that. But just before we left California, I said to him, Randy, I just want you to be very careful. I want you to be very mindful. I have a feeling something's coming that could put you in danger, and I want you to be prepared for anything and ready at a moment's notice to evacuate if necessary. And 3 days later, the fires started in Malibu, which is where he lives. And he and his wife barely got out. They had flames lapping at both sides of their car. It was a horrific escape for them. His wife and their little dog just made it. And thankfully, their home was spared. But getting out of the canyon was really, really treacherous. So I had a premonition that something awful was going to happen that would have put him in harm's way and his wife. And he thanked me afterwards. He said, I don't know what guardian angel you sent. I don't know what you did. He said, but people around us burned alive in their cars, and I don't know how we got out.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it really was.
I watched some of the videos on, you know, people escaping the fire. I've never seen anything like that. That is just wild. It's unbelievable.
I can't live in California. I can barely tolerate being in California. It's it's a natural disaster waiting to happen. You know, there's just, if it's not fires, it's floods. If it's not floods, it's mudslides. If it's not mudslides, it's earthquakes. If it's not earthquakes, it's tsunamis. It's like, you know, why does anybody live out there? And they're 3 hours behind everything that's happening. You know, I'm an East Coaster. I have to know if it's happening in New York and Washington, got to be on my timeline. It's got to be like I've got to be in Eastern time always. I will always live here in the Eastern time zone for sure. But it was an incredible year, and I am so grateful to so many people who stepped up to help me and to, you know, forward my momentum. Just when I thought I really had a handle on getting everything in order for the movies and a documentary that we're working on, just as I was absolutely sure that that was going to consume my whole year, other than my traveling to different events that I had scheduled. I had an incident occur in my own home. Down here in Florida. It was on May 24th of this year, and I had come back from my mother's home up in Georgia and had been there for about 7 weeks helping my mom and my sister reclaim their property after a very, very long, hard winter last year that did an enormous amount of damage. And there were many limbs down and, you know, just tree limbs down everywhere and all kinds. They had a couple of really bad snowstorms and an ice storm. And my mom's 79. My sister broke her leg last year. She can't do anything like that. So I went and I stayed for about 7 weeks. And in that amount of time, I really seriously injured myself to the extent that I couldn't even let a chiropractor touch me. I was in so much pain. And I had a healing happen to me in my home, in my own bed. A visitation that actually I thought was my sister at first. And I was laying there, I was listening to the television, it was on, so there was light in the room. And what happened to me changed the course of my life. Because even though I am extraterrestrially connected in a huge way, I did not know that they loved me so much that they would literally heal my whole body. And going from a place when I went to lay down in bed that night, packed in pillows, living on Motrin, just living on it, my whole lower lumbar area was in spasm, could not stand up. I had to crawl the walls of the house. My legs were buckling underneath me, and I was falling. There were, you know, many incidents around this over the course of several weeks after I got back. And, you know, I've always been a fast healer. So I figured, you know, it would straighten itself out with proper rest, being back in my own bed, yada, yada. And it just didn't. And so there was some intervention on my behalf. I popped out of bed the next day like I was a teenager. I didn't have any pain in my body anywhere. And my full adult height had been restored to 5'9", because I had shrunk a little bit over the decades. And it was astounding. It was an astounding thing. It flipped my father right out. He didn't even know what to think. He cried. It was an amazing thing. So over the next few weeks after that, I kept getting flashes and blasts of intense memories of all of the interaction and engagement that I've had over the course of my lifetime with extraterrestrials. Beginning my first conscious contact occurred when I was 13. I'm 60. So I have a lifetime, a wealth of resources in terms of drawing upon my engagement with them. And I mean, so many incidents that it's not that I ever forgot any of them, but I never, you know, properly documented them over the decades. I just experienced them. And all of a sudden they were coming back to me in it was an amazing thing that happened. And, you know, I mean, like flashes and blasts of memories. and I would click, you know, grab a note or the back of an envelope or a napkin or something and just write it down and make a note of it for future reference, thinking, you know, someday I might write about this, you know. And it just wouldn't stop. It was several weeks of persistent, explosive memories. And I wrote everything down. I had them everywhere, all over the house. They were, you know, in my handbag. I'd have flash when I was out having dinner at a restaurant, down on the napkin, it would go into the handbag, it would go. And then on July 8th, I said, okay, I get it. And I opened up a new Word document and started pulling all the pieces of paper and the scraps and the napkins all together. And it took about a week to put everything into that Word document. And I knew immediately what the title was supposed to be. The table of contents was revealed to me. I wrote down the table of contents and the title, and I opened that document, and it was the beginning of the most important work of my life. And 5 months to the day, I received the proof for my new book, A Wonder to Behold. I wrote the bulk of the text over about 3 weeks, and then it
wow.
took another couple of months to, yes, I mean, like, talk about opening a vein. You know, it took me 7 years to write the trilogy. 7 years, start to finish. This took 5 months. And it's the proof is beautiful. I'm delighted. I'm thrilled. It's already up on Amazon for pre-order. And A Wonder to Behold is, according to my publisher, going to change the world. And I hope so. I hope that it does. Because we are not alone in the universe. We're really not alone. And even though a lot of people are very skeptical about that and have not had experiences of their own, I take thousands and thousands of people out and introduce them to the galactic family. And the experiences that people have, the photographs that people get, there is no disputing it. It is irrefutable, undisputable presence that is around me. And all I do is sing to them. That's all I do. Their favorite songs. They have favorite songs. And when I sing, they make their presence known to whoever is with me. And
oh,
it's a miraculous
nice.
Thing that happens. It really is a wonder to behold. It truly is. I just had an experience up at the Mount Washington Hotel in New Hampshire a couple of weekends ago. Was there for a Strange Escapes event with Amy Bruni and Adam Berry. And we got, I think, the best photographs that we've ever had. I saw a vessel, well, many people saw a vessel come in right over the hotel, right over the top of the hotel in the middle of a snowstorm with two huge high beams, like the biggest car you ever saw, only it was crystalline white light and so bright that you could actually make the vessel out. And I swear to God, it looked like the Millennium Falcon. I'm like, what movie am I in right now? You know, what is this?
I want to see that. Oh, my God.
It is amazing. It's truly, it brings joy to me that they come. And it's not that they come when called. They're already here. It's just that I ask them to make their presence known to the people who are with me. And, of course, I'm very conscientious about explaining to the groups that I work with, you know, that if they're fearful about this in any way, that they don't have to come out with us, that that's perfectly fine. They can take their, you know, investigative gizmos and stay inside a building and, you know, see what evidence they can get inside. But inevitably, everybody comes out with me, and the vast majority of them have experiences that literally change their lives. So it's not just a calling for me. It's not just my mission. It's my job down here. It really is. And I take it very seriously, and it is absolutely joyful for me to be able to do this for people. And it's what's most joyful for me is when I have, you know, a 70-year-old man who's waited his whole life just fall into tears and wrap me in his arms and thank me for giving him something he's waited forever for. You know, I mean, that all the emotional layers just break down, all the, you know, the superfluous stuff just crumbles. And the people that have these experiences with me, it just opens them up emotionally in a way that nothing else can. It truly is spectacular, and it's my my real, true joy in life. So that's what the book's about.
I've heard a lot about experiences, and you know, I've had my own experiences. It seems like the vast majority of ET experiences are kind of, you know, fearful experiences, not very pleasant. Is that just has to do with some of the experiencer's perception, or are we dealing with different races? Maybe some are more scientific than others, and others are more malevolent.
My experience has been, I have not encountered anything dark at all. And it doesn't mean that it's not out there. It just means that it doesn't come anywhere near me. But that said, there are races that are partially humanoid, partially AI, who are basically scientists who are not particularly concerned with, you know, they don't even really have a concept of pain. They study us the way, you know, we might look at a bed of ants. But they've been told by other races, the light beings, to back off, and, you know, that they're not allowed to do any harm here. And if you've probably noticed the amount of abduction reports has decreased dramatically over the last decade or so. And I think that that's probably the reason. You know, the messages that I get about that are, have no fear. There's nothing to fear here. And that's what I tell people. This is... A lot of this is social programming. A lot of this is media programming. I mean, there's only, as far as I'm concerned, a couple of really responsible people that have put anything out in the world around extraterrestrials. George Lucas, Steven Spielberg that did remarkable work in this field. And I think really kind of softened the blow of so many others that make everything around extraterrestrials fear-based. And a lot of that also comes from a government that's trying to hold on to its power, maintain its power, and to quell the masses, where the masses. And so anything that they can do to keep us fear-based, is it behooves them to do that. I've had a lot of issues with the government over the years, in terms of withholding pertinent and what I consider to be vital information from humanity. And the messages that I'm getting from the galactic family is forgive them. Just let it go and forgive them. And, you know, I'm not so sure I'm all ready to let it go, but I know that that's what needs to happen. And it needs, you know, all of us to basically let them off the hook for being pathological liars since the Roswell incident and before. You know, I mean, they did tell the truth for about 15 minutes around the Roswell incident, and then they retracted it like a cat retracts its claws, and now everything's weather balloons. You know, they can kiss it as far as I'm concerned. Okay, see, now I'm getting mad because, you know, I'm sorry. It's very hard, you know, the benevolent races that want us to lift ourselves out of this 3D density and who are bombarding us with light and with, you know, by trying to just raise the vibration of this planet, know that that kind of animosity and that kind of almost militancy, like I have, because, I mean, I'm really angry that, I mean, we could be so much farther ahead than we are as a human race had all this information not been kept secretive. And a lot of it is out there now. A lot of it is, but it's so it's so mucked up with a lot of misinformation, deliberate disinformation that's fed out into the web, that's fed out into the world, that it's very hard to distinguish and delineate one element from the other without questioning everything. Now, I'm all for questioning everything. I think that that's a very important part of our learning process, and using our power of discernment is critical, critically important. But when you're deliberately being fed as a society lies, and being, you know, all right, how's the best way to say this? I'll just make sure I keep it all nice and clean on your air. on December 17th of last year, there was official governmental disclosure of the ET phenomenon, what they call unidentified aerial phenomena is the new tag for it. But it's UFOs. And they released the information about an incident that happened off the USS Nimitz, just south of San Diego, off the coast of San Diego in 2004. And how many years have passed? And we're just hearing about this now.
But what happened? I'm not aware of that.
You don't know about this? You don't know that there's been official disclosure?
No, it's all new to me. I guess I'm below the radar.
Yeah. All right. So this is what I will fill you in on quick like a bunny. The New York Times broke it. It was their lead story, headline story, on December 17th of last year. You can Google it. You can find all the information out about it. In 2004, the USS Nimitz, which is an aircraft carrier, was just off of San Diego. And they picked something up on radar that was moving so quickly that they knew it wasn't something that humanity had produced. And they set aircraft out after it. And when they saw it, when they got it in their sights, it dropped from 60,000 feet to 60 feet above the ocean floor in a split second. And when they finally came upon it, the vessel itself was cloaked, but they actually filmed the vibrations that it was creating on the surface of the ocean. And it was a really big deal. And apparently opened up a whole new area of inquiry for the government. Well, I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe for 1 second that it opened up anything. It was just one more piece of information that got fed into the secret pipeline of those who are integrally involved with the UFO phenomena. And there are many, many people in our military that are, but they're very compartmentalized, and not everybody knows everything. In fact, most of them only know what they're working on and nothing else. And that's all done deliberately. All of it is. Whenever I go to any event like StarWorks that's based in the study of extraterrestrial life, there's always somebody there from the government that's watching us, that's listening to us, that's listening to all of our lectures, that wants to know what we know. And I picked, 2 years ago, I picked the guy out in the crowd. You know, he stuck out like a sore thumb. And so I was like, I don't know you. Come here, come down this hallway. Come sit and talk to me. And he sat down at a little table. I sat down across him. I said, don't even bother telling me your name because I know it's not true. And I know who you are and I know why you're here. And that's how I started our conversation.
What did he say?
Yeah, because, you know, I ain't afraid of no ghosts, I ain't afraid of no spirits, I ain't afraid of no UFOs, and I ain't afraid of no government officials. So, that was a very interesting conversation. Not very little of it am I able to share with you. Suffice to say, I'm right about just about everything. And so if I'm telling you that this is what I know about this, this is what I know about this. It's not speculation on my part. It's not belief. It's not wishful thinking. It's not having faith. It's knowledge. And there's a quantum leap of difference between the two. So anyway, I decided to throw caution to the wind, as it were, and address this issue in my new book. And, you know, I might get in some trouble for it, but I'm not going to disappear off the planet or anything like that, because I'm just too well known. I can't disappear. And I tell everybody all the time, if I do, I'm in a think tank somewhere. Okay. You know, or I'm at Area 51. I mean, they snagged me and dragged me off into the desert, which would be extremely bad for my skin because, you know, the air is just way too dry out there and I flake like crazy in my face and, you know, not enough moisturizer in the world. So, you know, if I do go talk to them, and I even said in the book, I'd be happy to share everything that I know personally from my own experience. I would be happy to share with my government if they would be willing to extend the same courtesy. So I don't think they're going to be, you know, coming knocking on my door anytime soon. But, you know, that being said, we've got official disclosure from the United States Department of Defense as of December 16th or 17th. I'm having a brain freeze because it's so late. I think it's the 16th, December 16th. And about a week later, when there was no international uproar and there seemed to be like dead silence about it, even though it made all of the major media news broadcasts for about 3 days, it was all over the news for about 3 days. And I just noticed this kind of thud, this kind of dead silence. And so about a week later, I made a video that I put up on my YouTube channels. And basically what I said was this: thanks, but here's the deal. What you just gave us is a snowflake on the tip of an iceberg the size of Antarctica. If you want to start disclosing, then keep it coming. So, you know, they're being kind of pushed into it.
I don't see them ever doing total disclosure. I think it's going to take a mothership hovering over a city for people to start, or the government to start talking about it. I really wish they would, good or bad. If, you know, it's a scary situation, I'd still rather know. To me, ignorance isn't always bliss.
Oh, God, no. No, I would much rather know than not know. And, you know, I feel like I have this, like I've just been gifted with this really extraordinary connection with them since I was a child. And so it's really kind of a matter of fact and, you know, just a matter of course for me in my life. But I understand why some people are fearful about this, because they've been fed fear-based information about it over the course of their whole lives. And it's not fair, it's untrue, and it's unkind to beings who have traveled vast distances from around the cosmos to be here at this very pivotal time in the course of human evolution. And if we don't get this right, we're not going to be around to get anything right. We are really at a crisis point, at the precipice with this country and with this world and the damage that we're doing to it. You know, the idiocy coming right from the top of, you know, the climate change deniers. And I mean, it's just it's lunacy. It's idiocy. It's so detrimental to the cause of humanity. It's so selfish and it's so uninformed. And I have zero, capital Z-E-R-O, zero tolerance for ignorance. Absolute ignorance. And so, you know, that's what we're facing right now. And I don't think that anybody, should delude themselves into thinking that what's going on right now isn't what it is. This is the paradigm shift. This is where humanity either gets it right or gets gone. And we'll live out our lives But those of us that have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, what we'd be leaving to them is all I can say is shame on everyone that isn't acknowledging happening in this world and what we're doing to it and what the core cause is, which is us, and the greed that is the root evil of the withholding of information. We could have free electricity for this whole entire planet right now. Nikola Tesla gave that to us decades ago, and it was bought up and it was hidden in vaults until they can figure out a way to make money on it. That technology is going to stay hidden. And that, again, is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, the FBI seized all his stuff after he died. And they were so quick to get in there and take everything.
Yep.
The government is so shady. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well.
Andy, I have a question. Why is it that, like the CIA or the people like you were talking about, you noticed you picked them out. Why do you think they're looking after people like this? What's their purpose? And I've heard a lot of people in the UFO field, they're being watched, their phones being tapped, they have weird things on their antennas, and you see black helicopters. What's the purpose of that?
To keep an eye on us, see
what
we know. Because they're afraid that we're going to disclose too much. They're fear-based, too. They're afraid that we're going to learn too much, see too much, disclose too much, find a forum where we can get the message out in a way that will counteract what they're trying to do, which is to keep it hidden as much as possible. And, you know, the horse is already out of the barn and has been for a very long time. They're just hoping that it happens incrementally and it happens in a very, very gradual way. I've been followed. I've been escorted from I had an incident about 3 years ago, I think, where I was flying. I'd gone out to do an event in Texas, and then I was flying from Texas to Colorado to go film an episode of Open Minds with Regina Meredith on Gaia TV. And when I got dropped off at the airport, when I walked up to check my bag, there was the man that was looking down at his desk looked up, and then he looked down at a piece of paper, and then he looked up at me, and I said, "My name is," and he said, "I know who you are. If you could just go with this gentleman here." And I was like, I don't have a boarding pass yet. I need a boarding pass. They took my luggage. They took all of my luggage, even the stuff I was going to carry on the plane with me, which I was freaking out about because I had my computer in there too.
Yeah.
And I don't want my computer going into a cargo hold. I mean, I wasn't even thinking in terms of, you know, what are they going to search my computer for? You know, I wasn't even thinking like that. I was just thinking, what's this about? You know, is there some problem? My first reaction was, oh my God, something's happened to somebody in my family. You know, I mean, I didn't know what to think. And I was escorted through a series of doors by a very large man who would not really respond to my questions. He was very polite, but he was non-responsive. And I was taken through a series of back hallways. I never went through security. I never got scanned. Nothing like that. And then when he opened the last door, we were just outside my gate. And I was escorted onto the plane. And I'm sitting there like, what's happening here? What is happening here? I don't understand what's happening here. And there had to be 60 empty seats on that particular flight, which is a rarity. Usually we're all packed in like sardines. But this flight was very, very quiet. And just as they were getting ready to close the door, this very tall, statuesque woman who looked a lot like Katie Lang came onto the plane, and of all the empty seats on the plane, she sits right down next to me. Right next to me. I have the window seat. She sits in the middle. She had a seat on the aisle that was open to her. Mm-hmm. And sits down right next to me. And so, you know, I'm cordial. I said, good morning. I said, my name is, and she, before I could get it out, she turned to me and she said, I know who you are. Well, I thought she had seen, I had my book on my lap with my picture on it and my name. And I thought she had just looked down, and that's, I don't know what I thought. I was freaking out by this point. I was afraid to breathe.
Wow.
And so I said to her, you know, I tried to engage her in mm-hmm. some kind of conversation. And I, you know, I said, I think I asked her what her name was, and she didn't respond. And I said, I'm a writer. And she turned to me and looked me dead in the eye. And she said, I work for the federal government. And then she put on a pair of earbuds things, and kind of disappeared.
Wild.
And it was an intimidation tactic. It was to let me know that I'm being watched and followed. And that's fine, because I have nothing to hide. But, you know, don't be rude. I mean, God, make up a name, for God's sake. You know, be pleasant. But
Do you feel a reptilian presence? There's some reptilian in these type of people that attracts them to do this?
I don't know. I wasn't even thinking like that, honestly. I wasn't thinking. I mean, the world is covered with hybrids, so it's that wasn't even where my mind went. I was concerned that I wasn't going to get my computer back. I was concerned that I wasn't going to get my luggage. I was concerned. I mean, all my stuff was taken from me other than my handbag when I got to the SkyCap. And my heart was racing. I mean, you don't know the relief that I felt when I got off the plane. As soon as the plane landed, she was up out of her chair and off. She was, I mean, gone. She was just off the plane instantly. In fact, she got up out of her chair before, as soon as the plane landed, while it was still moving. And, you know, nobody yelled at her, stay in your seat until it comes to a stop. I mean, she was obviously someone of some import. And everybody on the plane knew who she was, that, you know, was working on the plane. So either she was a sky marshal or, you know, something like that. I mean, you don't know how grateful I was when I got to baggage claim and got my bags and everything was in there. And yes, it had been gone through. You know, they have to put that little tag in there that says they opened your stuff up. And so it had been gone through. And, you know, who knows if my hard drive got downloaded or what, with all my pictures of UFOs and all of that. I mean, who knows? I don't know.
Oh yeah.
They had some time. Yeah. You know, they had some time with my stuff before it got actually put on the plane. I was just so grateful it got put on the plane. You know, I had a big thing to do, you know, being on Regina's show is a big deal, you know, all my clothes and, oh God, I was just a nervous wreck. I was an absolute nervous wreck. And then the next morning, before I did, I went over to the Gaia Studios to do the filming. Paula Harris, who is the brain, the StarWorks Symposium is her brain trust. It's her baby. And she met me for breakfast. And I told her what had happened. And she just sat there very quietly and just nodded and listened to what I just told you. And she said, yep. And it's never going to stop. Just expect that this will be how it is for you for the rest of your life.
That's unnerving. I mean, because you don't know the intent of these agents or whatever they are. I mean, I'm sure that they've probably offed people in the past. You're fortunate you're so well known. Hell, I'm sure that, you know, we talked to so many high-profile people on Paranormal Horizons. They're probably playing Paranormal Horizons at Langley or something, you know. I'm sure they're listening.
Well, if they are, I'm happy to discuss with them anything that I have ever experienced and any beings that I have been in contact with. But I expect quid pro quo. I want to know more too. I am tired of being lied to, and I am tired on behalf of all of humanity for being lied to and treated like, you know, we're babies that have to be spoon-fed pablum It's just ridiculous, and it's insulting. It's ludicrous and, dare I say, deplorable. The one thing that I thought was interesting was that the Department of Defense issued their report on disclosure and circumvented the White House completely. They found out about it at the same time that all the rest of us did. I thought that was interesting.
That's
but
interesting.
It's also a deflection technique. And that's what I put in my video. You know, it's like, here's this little tiny breadcrumb over here. Here you go. Here's a little scrap for you to nibble on. It's right over here. Don't look over there. That's where the whole freaking biscuit in the bakery is, over there. Don't look over there. Look over here. You know, and something huge is happening. Something absolutely huge is happening. The day that my book went into my publisher was 11/11, November 11th. And that's the day that it went up on Amazon for pre-sale, and they began working on what I considered, you know, I'm not adding any more. This is it. Here we go. Let's do this. And that day, there was a worldwide vibration that occurred. And you can Google it. Just Google the National Geographic did a piece on it, the New York Times, the Washington Post. There were you know, everywhere. You can look anywhere and everywhere and find where there was a worldwide vibration that occurred on November 11th, 11/11, that they cannot find the source of.
And I read about
it
that,
literally
yeah.
altered. Yep. It altered the vibration of this entire planet. This is the paradigm shift. And we are all here. And the two of you, by doing what you're doing, by putting all, you know, all this information out into the world and introducing, you know, so many people to your listeners that they wouldn't have an opportunity to hear from in any other way, you are part of it. You are doing your part, and I'm proud of both of you for the wonderful show that you have and the time and the energy and the, you know, the just all that you invest to make this happen. You know, I would dare to say that both of you were touched at a very young age, because I find that people that experience ghosts and spirits in the fourth dimension and people that have been touched by fifth dimensional beings and beyond are the ones that go into this field and have just a voracious appetite and curiosity unlike others, and ultimately will be the ones that lead the way informationally into the golden age, into the new age of enlightenment. This is it.
There has to be a reason that I'm into it. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, my parents were highly, highly educated and, you know, PhDs. And if you mention the paranormal to either of my parents, you know, they pretty much laugh at you. But for some reason, I've been into it. You know, I've had my experiences. I wouldn't say that they were positive or enlightening, but, you know, I'm sure there's something to learn from all experience, whether it's positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is. You know, I mean, not all of our experiences at the farmhouse growing up were positive experiences. In fact, you know, there were a lot of really ugly things that happened there, especially to my mother and to my sister Cindy. You know, I think that in terms of spirit, we retain characteristics when we die, when we make our transformation into whatever energy turns into that creates the existence of spirits. They're real. You know, millions, countless millions of people all over this planet have had encounters with spirit, with ghosts. And, you know, it's not a figment of our imaginations. I mean, I grew up in a house that was really more a portal, cleverly disguised as a farmhouse. That's my favorite line about that place, because really I can't think of a better way to describe it than that. But I think that's what opened me up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to ask you, has the portal been shut down or is it still open?
Where? At the farmhouse?
Mm-hmm, at the farmhouse.
Well, every time I've been in that house since we moved there, I've had experiences there. So,
okay.
You know, that's not something, I don't think that you know, with our limited understanding of, you know, that word and what it means, I don't think it's something that opens or closes. I think it's something that just exists. I don't know.
Good
That's
point.
Just, you know, my opinion. It just is. And so it's, I don't know. I think it could be that the energy that my siblings and I brought into that house probably stirred things up. But ultimately, everything is existence. Everything is one thing. Everything is energy.
That
and
is absolutely
so, yeah, so I think that, you know, we're probably just brought so much exuberance and so much energy into that house that it either disgruntled them, or some of them, or just stirred up the activity in the household. But I don't know, and I don't have the answers. And I'll tell you what, anybody in this field that tells you they have the answers, run in the opposite direction from them because they are a fraud. Run. Don't walk. Run. Get away. Because if they're telling you they know, they're full of it.
They don't
we
know.
Don't know, nobody does.
I don't know. Well, I'm first to admit.
I don't know. That's why, you know, I'm co-hosting this show. We want to know. We want to explore the possibilities. But do you think that because of this vibration that occurred, that we're going to continue to see more anomalies like that and our global consciousness is going to start to rise? Is that the whole point?
Yes.
You think, behind
yes.
That?
Yes. And dear God, I hope I'm right about that. Dear God, I hope I'm right about that. Because these things need to continue to happen. We need to raise the consciousness of this entire planet. And this is, we really, you know, I am not prone to hyperbole. You know, when I say that we're at a crisis point, that we're at, you know, we're doing irreparable damage to this world, to this globe. And if she'll survive without us, she will. She'll wipe off the pestilence that's creating the problem. We're the pestilence. We're the only creature on this planet that fouls its own nest. We're the only creature on this planet that's capable of making other life forms extinct and do so with such regularity that it makes me want to vomit. You know, the white rhino went extinct last year. How could that have been allowed to happen? How could that have even been allowed to happen? I say let's declare open season on the poachers and make it a death sentence to be one. You know, that's my attitude. I mean, we're just wiping out all of the beauty of this planet. You know, there are whole vast tracts of West Virginia and Kentucky and in the Appalachians where the mountains have been sheared off. They're gone. How do you rebuild a mountain? You know, and what's going on in terms of, you know, the Department of Interior and Ryan Zinke? Let there be a special hell for him to burn in. Let there be. You know, and all of this is coming from the top. This is all happening for a reason. All of this is happening for a reason. We need to be mindful. We need to be on top of our game. We need to watch everything, and we need to speak up. Because if we don't, silence is tacit approval of what is happening, what is being allowed to happen. The damage that can be done in 4 short years is staggering. Because we've already seen what can be done. The selling off of public lands for private use, for drilling, for, you know, for oil and gas exploration, drilling in the Arctic. The Arctic is disappearing at such a rate. Thing to go are going to be the polar bears. You want to live in a world without polar bears? You want to watch films of them staggering through towns so emaciated that you can just watch them drop in front of you and die at your feet from starvation? Because I don't want to live in a world like that. So I either have to get the hell out of here or I have to do something about it.
You and they're in the captivity. That's not their natural environment.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's
who
not.
Wants to get joy of seeing animals being captive against their will? That's just not natural.
Oh, well, I address all of this in my new book, and I'm sure it's going to piss some people off, and that's too bad. I don't care.
Or even
I really
animal
don't
abuse.
Care.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I feel like that's a form of animal abuse. Oh, yeah, you go to see.
Well, I guess it is. You know, and anybody that disagrees with me on that point, I don't need to know them anyway. You know,
yes,
I can love all of humanity without being best friends with every member of it. So
well,
that's the way I feel about that.
Amen.
The Earth is
yes,
going to fight back.
The same way.
The Earth
yes.
is going to get to a point, and I believe it's like a living entity in itself, and at some point it's going to
it
have
is.
Had enough, like you said, and it's going to take care mm-hmm. of us. And maybe with all the disasters that are happening, maybe we're just starting to see that happen. Who knows?
Well, you know, part of the – I think disasters have already – you know, have always happened. Natural disasters have always happened. It's the intensity. It's the frequency. It's the changing of, you know, just the global climate that's causing, you know, there to be drought and there to be, what was a prime area for growing food is turning into a dust bowl again. I mean, this has been going on for a while. This has been going on since the mid-1800s. You know, the UK used to be known as the Golden Isles. You don't hear that very much anymore because the Golden Isles are very damp and wet and rainy. And that's because of what we did to the environment having our industrial revolution in the United States. And all of that swept up over England with the jet stream and literally changed their environment over the last couple of hundred years. And we did that. We did it. And it's one thing to make a mistake, but to never learn from your mistakes, that's inexcusable as far as I'm concerned.
Well, so, hopefully there's hope for us in the future. But I do know we are running out of time. So now where can the listeners get your books?
All of my books are available. The trilogy, House of Darkness, House of Light, Volumes 1, 2, and 3, which is the whole true story behind the fictionalized film The Conjuring that was based on the case files of Ed and Lorraine Warren, who investigated our home in the 1970s when we lived at the farm. But they got that so wrong that it's if you want to know the real story, just read the books. And also In a Flicker that I wrote with George Lopez, which if you're an aficionado of Jack the Ripper and time travel, make sure you grab that one. And if you've got a stomach for it, because it's pretty rough stuff. And then my new book, A Wonder to Behold, is already up on Amazon, available for pre-order, and it should go live probably by the end of this week.
Very cool. Well, Andrea, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's late for you, and we always love having you on the show. It's very enlightening. So thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. I'm happy to join you anytime. Thank
you,
darling.
And have a good evening.
You too. Have a great night, both of you. And thanks to all of your listeners for tuning in tonight. I appreciate it very much.
Take care, girl. Love you.
Take care.
Love you too, honey. Talk soon. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yay, Merry Christmas. We'll be talking.
Okay, great.
It's going to be a better year, I hope. Just have some hope.
Yes. Yes. Let's have some hope. Be the light you seek.
Hope for humanity and hope for people that we love and raise that mm-hmm. vibration.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
absolutely.
And speak up. Speak your truth. Yep.
That's a big
thing.
Okay.
All
right.
Have a great night. I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Right. Bye-bye. Got to raise the vibration.
I enjoy her. She's amazing.
Yeah,
love
she's
her
amazing.
To death. She is just, you know, just very well versed and a lot of wisdom in that soul.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I mean, we've got to change our ways. You know, the earth is the only thing we got, and, you know, if we burn it out to where we can't sustain life anymore, if the earth fights back and takes us out, It's not like we can just jump on a spaceship and, you know, terraform another planet easily. So, man, we got to raise our vibration. We got to stop this war, all this hate, all this greed and ego and all this, and get with the program, because it's not doing anybody any good.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's all about raising our vibration. But anyway, just want to thank everybody, each and every one of you listeners, to listen to us and our guests, and hopefully you'll have something to think about. And like I said, when we post anything on Facebook, it's not necessarily our thoughts and our beliefs, or, you know, it's a way of thinking. It's just for entertainment purposes of different things that we might have find maybe entertaining for the people that like to follow us. So, yes, just put it out there. Have an open heart, open mind, and just love each other. And we'll see you next week on Sunday at 8 p.m.
Absolutely. Hope everybody has a safe and enlightening vibration. What's the right word? I don't even know what I'm trying to say right now. I think I'm having a series of mini strokes, but hope everybody has a safe week. Expanding their consciousness. I think that's what I was going for. And we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. And with that, we'll close the show.
You're funny.
I say that. Every time I have a brain fart, I say that. Good night, everyone. Hope everybody has a safe week.
Take care. Bye-bye.